Well, Merry Christmas. Good to see you all. Thanks for being here. If we haven't met yet, my name is Lee, and I'm just honored that you would come and spend your Christmas Eve with us here at LifePoint this afternoon. What a great job, Tucker and our worship team. They did an amazing job and got chills singing O Holy Night, man. It's just what a wonderful time of year this is. And so, hey, on your way in, hopefully you saw the batches of candles that you could grab on your way in. If you did not receive one of those, at the end of our service, we'll do kind of a candle lighting to kind of finish up. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, which I would encourage you, just raise your hand right now if you didn't get a candle, and one of our team members can find you and make sure that you have one of those. And so just keep those up high, and they'll come around and hand those off to you as we get going here today. We are finishing up our series that we've called The Last Few Weeks With Us, where we have been exploring really what's the significance behind Jesus coming to be with us. And it's been a lot of fun working through John 1:14 as we've dissected a little bit of it each and every week. And last week, David, our campus life pastor, shared with us, actually last week on a couple days ago on Sunday. I keep getting my head mixed around here that it's Tuesday. He shared with us about God's glory and how we have seen His glory. And so today we're going to really look at, as we finish up the last part of that verse, looking at how Jesus came full of grace and truth. But as I think about Christmas and I think about the Christmas season, I think about gifts, right? I mean, maybe if you've got kids in here, they are excited to wake up tomorrow morning and to run down or run out and find your tree, hopefully a real tree that you've chopped down and has the smell of pine in your house that isn't have all the leaves falling off of it quite yet. But to find the gifts that you've wrapped and put together, gifts that Santa has brought, whatever it may be, and you've thought about gifts and what kind of gifts you want to give and what kind of gifts maybe that you want to receive in Christmas. We just oftentimes we think about gifts and how wonderful that those gifts are. And so as we think about that, it made me think about one of the gifts that I gave Michelle early on, right before we got married. I need something just to confess to you up front. She can testify to this. I am not a great gift giver, okay? And so there have been many of days where she has been underwhelmed by what I have given her. It's probably because I set her up for that. And so we had been dating. I knew that we had been talking about, that we'd had several conversations about getting engaged and getting married. And so it was right into kind of my senior season. I was finishing up playing football, and we had our last bowl game that I played in. It was on December 26th, so the day after Christmas. And so our team was up in Detroit training and practicing. And one of those days, we got a chance to go and have some fun and go around one of the malls. And I thought, I'm going to get Michelle a Christmas gift. Now, here was the challenge, though, was a few weeks before that, I had forked over a lot of money to buy an engagement ring for her, but she didn't know I was going to propose to her around New Year's Day, and so I wanted to kind of keep it a surprise, but I was like, she can't just be empty-handed for Christmas. That is not going to help when I pop the question, and so I'm looking, like, what can I get her, and I find this gift, and I think, you know what, this is a very practical gift. This is a gift that I think she could use. I think it would be helpful in this time of year. I found a pair of mittens and a hat, like a winter hat that she could wear, that I thought looked really cute. Looking back on it, I was like, it was not like quality Egyptian cotton. It wasn't like a fancy, it was nothing like that. It was really just like mittens and hat that you would see. And I was like, I'm going to get, but I'm like, I can't tell her though that I've got an engagement ring that I just spent a lot of money on to give her. And so I showed up that Christmas and I gave it. I'm like, hey, just be patient. There might be a better gift on its way. And so, but I remember her being like, oh my goodness, like, what is this guy? And so I'm not a great gift giver, okay? That's just, I'm not very awesome when it comes to that. You probably are excelling and doing great in terms of giving gifts to those that you love and care about. But as we think about Christmas and giving gifts, like, God is also a great gift giver. He is way better than me, I promise. Like, the gifts God gives us is way better than anything we can even think about. And even in James, we see that it talks about how every good and perfect gift comes from God. It comes from our Father above, that God is the one who gives us very good and wonderful gifts. And so as I think about the gifts that God has given us and the gifts that we receive, here's what I want us to think about today as we finish up looking at John 1:14, is that Jesus is the best gift giver. That Jesus is the best gift giver. That when it comes to giving gifts, no one excels better than Jesus. Jesus is wonderful when it comes to giving gifts. And what we're going to look at in particularly are two gifts that we're going to see from our passage today that Jesus gives us. He's going to give us a gift that we don't deserve, and he's going to give us a gift that we cannot deny. And so a gift we cannot deserve, a gift that we don't deserve, and a gift that we cannot deny. And so as we think about this series and God being with us, what we've talked about each and every week is that God, Christmas is about God writing himself into the human story. And we think about God as is this perfect, eternal, omniscient, everlasting being who created all things, right? And so God is kind of outside of time. He's an uncreated being. And so by God entering into our human history, that's what we see at Christmas. And we talked about it in week two, that God became flesh, that he literally put on skin, that he got skin. He put skin in the game, that he put on flesh and he came to dwell among us. So as we think about Christmas, it's about God stepping off of his throne in heaven and he's stepping into our human existence so that we could know him, so that we can know who he is and what he's like. He has revealed himself throughout history, but Christmas is a very unique example of God making himself known to you and to me. And so as we look at John 1:14, let me just read it for us and kind of show us what we're going to be focusing on here. And so John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? Week one, the Word, this idea that Jesus is the Word. And what we see in John 1 is the Word was God and the Word was with God. And so this idea that Jesus is God, that when you think of God, Jesus is who God is. And not just that Jesus is God, but Jesus is the incarnation of God, right? That incarnate just means to be made flesh. And then he dwelt among us. The idea that his presence, that God makes his presence with his people. And one of the things we talked about that week is how Christmas reminds us that God's presence is his greatest present. That God giving his presence to you and I is the greatest present he could give you and I, is being with him. And then on Sunday, we looked at how David shared with us about the glory of God and how God makes himself known, the invisible God making himself visible in very tangible ways, and how that transforms us. And so today, we want to look at this idea that he came from the Father full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Why Jesus shows us what grace and truth is all about. And so let's go ahead, let's look at our first point, how Jesus is grace. What does it mean that he is grace? And that's what I mean by that Jesus is a gift that we do not deserve. Right, so grace is a word that if you've been in church, you've maybe have heard that phrase before. Sometimes you hear it out when you're going around in public, or you hear it out. And often I ask people, how do you define what grace is? And it's kind of a tricky word to define. It's kind of hard. It's easy to use, but sometimes it's hard to kind of wrap our hands around what does it mean. Well, grace, just simply from a biblical perspective, just means that grace is unmerited favor. So just to make it more simple, it's when you and I receive something that we don't deserve, right? You think about things in your life that you deserve, things that you've earned, right? Your job, a paycheck, right? If you're in school, the grades, you earn those kinds of things. But grace is when we receive something, we're getting something that in fact, we've done nothing to deserve. As I think about grace, and what's maybe a helpful way in this time of year to think about it, I think of Santa Claus. And in particularly, I think about this song when it comes to grace. Let's see if it'll play. Perhaps you've heard it before. It's from Burl Ives.
So you better watch out, and you better not cry, and you better not pout, and I'm a-telling you why. Santa Claus is a-coming
to town. Now here's the part.
He's a-making the list, he's a-checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and who's nice. Santa Claus is a-coming to town.
So we think about Santa Claus coming to town, right? He's got a list, checking it twice. He's going to see who's naughty and who's nice, right? And as I think about grace, and I think about even this idea with Santa Claus, is if you are good at Christmas, you've done good, what do you receive in return? You receive gifts, right? You receive, right? If you're on the nice list, you receive gifts. You show up and you're like, hey, I got gifts. I guess I was good this year. But if you were naughty, if you were not very good this year, what do you receive from Santa Claus? You receive a lump of what? Coal, right? You receive, all the kids, they know it, right? They don't want to show up and get a lump of coal that's there. You see what grace is saying, hey, when it comes to how we've been this year, we have not been very good. That we, in fact, have done a lot of bad things, right? That we have disobeyed God. We have not met our own expectations. We've let people down. We've done things that we've regretted. We've said things that we regret. In the midst of that, really what we deserve is coal. What we have earned, what we should receive is a lump of coal. But in fact, it's as if you show up on Christmas and you are lavished with presents and gifts. That's what grace is. That's why grace is so amazing. It's because it's a gift that we receive that we do not deserve. And John 1, he actually goes on and explains more of this idea of grace in verse 16 and 17. John goes on, he says, from his fullness, talking about Jesus, how he is full of grace and truth, he says, we have all received what? Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So what we see that in Jesus is that he is the embodiment of Moses. That's what on Sunday David talked about, how in the transfiguration with Jesus, Moses and Elijah show up. Because Jesus perfectly fulfilled God's standard, God's law. And you see, this reality is you and I, we have broken God's law over and over again. And even in light of those things, we receive, the text tells us, grace upon grace. And Ephesians 2 tells us this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It's not a result of work so that no one may boast. So as we think about Christmas, and we got to ask ourselves again, why did Jesus come? Well, what we see in the scriptures, he came to give you and I grace, to give us that which we do not deserve. That Ephesians 2 tells us that the grace that we receive, right, is not by works. And you see, sometimes we think about, like, I've just got to be good enough before God. I've got to go to church, especially at Christmas, sometimes at Easter. Maybe I should show up, give a little bit, serve a little bit, not say the wrong kinds of words. If I can just be a good enough person, then therefore I will receive God's favor and blessing and acceptance in my life. And friends, if that is true, we don't need Christmas at all. We don't need it. We don't need Jesus to come. We don't need him here because we can just do it ourselves. If we just try hard enough, if we just get a passing grade, we don't need Jesus. But the fact that God sent Jesus tells you and I that we can't be good enough. The Bible repeatedly tells you and I that we fall short. That we fall short of our standards and we fall way short of God's standards. But God is a God of grace, giving you and I the gift that we do not deserve. You see, as we've unpacked the last several weeks looking at John 1, even in the first part of John, even that work with that first week with the Word, that Jesus came, right, to give light to the spiritually darkened. This idea that sin is as if we're walking in a dark place. And at the end of the service, we're going to see the lights come down real dark. And if you're to look around, it would be hard to maybe make things out and see things. We're going to see lights lit up. And as those lights come in, it gets brighter and brighter. We can see. And that's what symbolizes this idea that Jesus coming into human history, he is this great light that enlightens our lives. But he didn't just come to give light to the spiritually dark. And he came to give life, eternal, everlasting life to those of us who have fallen short, who have experienced death and separation from God. And it's because of our sin that we've rejected God, rebelled against him, that we need God to rescue us. As we think about gifts, what I think is helpful in this is, why is that really important? This idea that God gives us grace, that God gives us this gift that we don't deserve. Because oftentimes gifts reveal the heart of the giver, right? Think about it, right? Gifts often reveal the heart of the giver. Now, perhaps at your workplace or in your family, or you've done these, and you've heard of these two kinds of gifts exchange, right? There is the secret Santa, and there's the white elephant gift. You guys following with me, right? And so, well, let's go over to the white elephant gift one, right? As a LifePoint staff across our campuses, we had a fun little white elephant gift exchange this last week. And just again, just so you know, the idea of me being, this is right up my alley, because you don't got to give a good gift at all. So I picked it up at the Dollar General on my way, okay? That's the kind of gift giver I am. And so, but there was weird, wacky gifts, right? You just give just random stuff. Sometimes you can just give stuff from your house for just stuff that aren't really all that valuable or important, because it doesn't matter at the end, like, who gets it. It's supposed to be funny in that kind of way. So that's kind of this white elephant gift, right? You get a sense. But then there's Secret Santa, right? And Secret Santa is where maybe you draw names, your family does this, and you get somebody's name, and what do you try to do? You hopefully are thinking about the person's name that you draw. What is it that they would like? What are they into? What do they enjoy? And you're buying a gift, hopefully really unique and specific to them, that you're not going by Dollar General on your way to the exchange and just grabbing whatever you can for $5. Like, that's hopefully not what you're showing about you, right? And so the gift that you're giving, right, is revealing kind of your heart and your love and care for them. one of the things that came to mind in thinking about that was, you know, the show The Office, if you've seen that, right? Jim and Pam, this wonderful kind of romantic relationship that they're trying to figure out in the story. And there's this one point in the series where Jim gets Pam for a Secret Santa. And he gets her this wonderful little teapot, and he fills it with a lot of mementos and tinkets and little things that are kind of unique to their relationship, right? And he wants her to see it because he knows how much time and thought and energy he put into that, right? His gift to her revealed kind of his heart for them. And so as we think about God's grace that he gives you and me, what it should show you and I is it should reveal the kind of character and heart and the nature of God. That what we see in God giving you and I great grace, the idea that God is giving us something that we do not deserve, shows us the love that he has, the care that he has for you and me. That we see God's heart on display at Christmas. Jesus giving us grace, giving us that which we don't deserve, that tells us about God's amazing character, his nature, and how he feels about us. And so here's what I would love to ask you, is I just would love for you to receive God's gift of grace this Christmas. Receive it by faith. We saw that in Ephesians, that how do we receive grace? How do we receive this gift? It's by faith. It's by trusting and believing that God gave us this thing, not because we have earned it or deserved it, but because he loves us. To kind of paint a picture for you in that, imagine that you had thought about somebody, right, and you had gotten them a really extravagant gift, a very costly gift to you. And one of the things they do when they get that gift is they say, man, how can I pay you back? What can I do to kind of help pay this? I know you spent a lot, you put a lot of time. How can I pay this gift back to you? How can I make it right with you in this way? You as a gift giver would be like, it's a gift. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to use, I want you to experience, right? Well, all the thought and all the care that I had behind this gift, I don't want you to try to pay it back to me. It can kind of feel a little bit insulting in a way. And so as we think about this gift God's giving you and me, how do we receive that? By faith. We don't need to pay God back. There's nothing you owe him for this extravagant gift of offering up his son for you and me. That's why Christmas is so amazing. Receive God's gift of grace by faith this Christmas. You see, Jesus is not just a gift that we don't deserve. He's also a gift that we cannot deny. And so for this, I wanted to move us to one of the Christmas narratives in Matthew 1. Let me go ahead and read it for us. Matthew 1, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Imagine being Mary, right? This young teenager, and all of a sudden she's pregnant. She knows it wasn't through the natural means that pregnancy happens. This is a miracle from the Holy Spirit. And so now there's a sense where Joseph isn't sure what to do, and an angel shows up to him and says, hey, this is God's doing in her life, right? That you want to stay with Mary. She has not done anything wrong. This is a blessing that we want to do. And then the angel goes on and says in verse 21, that Mary is going to bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he was saved his people from their sins. Jesus is very close to the Hebrew name of Joshua, Yeshua, which means the Lord saves. So that's why Jesus will save his people from their sins. And it says all this is the part I want to focus in on. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And he's going to quote Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You're like, Lee, I thought the angel said to call him Jesus. That's his Emmanuel. See, that's not the same. Well, Jesus is the name. Like my name is Lee, right? But I'm also a pastor, so I have a title. So Emmanuel is kind of a title, like God with us. And so Emmanuel, really by calling him that, saying God is coming to be with us. So as I think about Jesus being the gift that we cannot deny, that Jesus is the gift that God has promised to us. See, here's why we can't deny this gift from God. We can't look at Jesus and deny him. I mean, you can, but the reality is that would be foolish because this is a gift that's been promised long before we ever showed up on the scene, right? This prophecy, right, that was quoted from Isaiah was nearly 700 years before Jesus was born. Just to put that in perspective, think about how old our country is. I know sometimes people, I really don't want to go to that place, but when I think about when I was born in 1987 and the amount of years it is like from that point to now, and I go backwards from 1987, I'm like, that's in the 50s, and I'm like, that seems like so long ago. I'm not to offend anybody that was born in the 50s, right? But perspective, you think, that's a long time ago. So imagine the amount of time that our country's been in existence, 200-something years, right? This is over 700 years before this came to be. I mean, that we need another 400 or 500 years of existence as a country for this prophecy to be fulfilled. It's so outlandish. There are even more than just this one, that a virgin is going to bear a son, which is a pretty unique prophecy about Jesus, right? A woman who is a virgin getting pregnant and bearing a son. That is a miracle in and of itself. But what are some of the other ones? Well, Genesis 12 talks about this. God made this promise to Abraham. He says, I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And this is what he says, all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. How are all the peoples on the earth going to be blessed through Abraham? Well, he's talking about from the line of Abraham would come Jesus, who would be a blessing to the nations. 2 Samuel says this, and your house, talking about David, and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. God is talking to King David and saying, before you, your throne will be an everlasting, will be established forever. Now, I don't know who's sitting on the throne in Israel, because there isn't a king in Israel, but they definitely didn't come from the line of David. So how is he having an everlasting throne? Because of Jesus. If you know the story, Joseph is from the line of David. Jesus comes on the scene through Joseph, fulfilling this prophecy. Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, through you although you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are where? From of old, from ancient times. In a way, Micah is saying there's going to come from Bethlehem a ruler and a king who is like an ancient one, who is an old one. So talking about Jesus, the Son of God, eternal, God himself coming in, being born in Bethlehem. And then again, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel. These are just a few prophecies about the birth of Jesus, not to mention about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that Jesus fulfilled. What was really interesting in thinking about how significant that this promise of Jesus is, there is a professor, Peter Stoner, who is a chairman of the departments of mathematics and astronomy at Pasadena College, and he grabbed about 600 other college students, and they decided to look at 8 specific prophecies about Jesus. They wanted to see, just from a conservative standpoint, how likely is it that any person could fulfill these 8 prophecies. And here's what they found out. Conservatively looking at these prophecies, these 8, if someone were to fulfill all 8 of them, here were the odds. 1 in 100 quadrillion. So that's 1 in 17 zeros. Some of you are like, so you're saying there's a chance. Let me put that in perspective for you. Like, what's that mean? You're like, okay, that seems like pretty big odds there. Okay, so if I had a hat and I put 10 names in the hat and one of those names was you, right? And I had you come in and draw a name out of that hat, your odds of picking out your name are 1 in 10, okay, right? So to get this odds, 1 in 100 quadrillion, here's what you would have to do. You would have to go, and you would have to go and get the entire state of Texas and cover it 2 feet deep, right, with a silver dollar. So you would take a silver dollar, cover the entire state of Texas 2 feet deep with silver dollars. Okay. Then you would blindfold a person, and you would mark a silver dollar, just some random silver dollar somewhere in the state of Texas, 2 feet deep. You would blindfold a person, say, walk anywhere in the state of Texas, grab a silver dollar, and their odds of grabbing the one that you marked are 1 in 100 quadrillion. You would say, Lee, that is impossible. It is. I mean, unless you're God. Because with God, all things are possible, and Jesus fulfilling these prophecies are why you and I look at the birth of Jesus, and it's a gift we cannot deny, because God has promised it from of old. He's promised it for you and for me, and here's why this is good news for you and me, is God always keeps his promises. God always keeps his promises. I try my best to keep my promises to my kids. I even asked them this week, hey, does Dad always keep his promises? They were like, eh. I'm like, well, that's not going great. I was like, well, tell me when his dad not broken a promise. And Eliana was like, you didn't get us ice cream last month. I'm like, why would I give you ice cream in November? What are you talking about? You know, anyways. But I try my best to keep promises to my kids, to my family, to others. But I don't always come through. Right. And even sometimes I may make a promise, but something's out of my control. I can't control those things. So like I could say, hey, we're going to go to the zoo lights in a couple days, and something out of my thing, like something could go wrong at the zoo and the lights are canceled and we can't go on the day that I promise. I can't fulfill it. But sometimes I just don't keep it. Sometimes I just say things and I can't follow through with them. Maybe you're like that, or maybe you've experienced that someone has made a promise and they weren't able to fulfill it. But when you and I, when it comes to God, when he makes a promise to you and me, he always keeps his promise. How do I know that? Just look at the birth of Jesus. It reminds us of God's promise. And so here's what I would ask you is, will you trust Jesus this Christmas? Because of who God is, because of his character, because of his faithfulness to keep his promise, because of what he's done in giving you this outlandish gift of his son, will you trust him this Christmas? Will you put your hope and your faith, will you surrender your life to him? Will you follow him even when it's hard? Will you believe that his promises for you are better than what the world promises? Will you trust in Jesus this Christmas? In summer, we've seen that Jesus gives us the best gifts. He gives us a gift we do not deserve, which is grace upon grace. Lastly, he gives us a gift that we cannot deny, that God sent Jesus to save us as he promised. So just as I want to close, this past week, kind of our network of churches here in Columbus came by, and because our family has been here about a year, they came by and gave us kind of a welcome basket. They said, "Hey, Lee, just to welcome you to Columbus, we wanted to give you a little welcome basket, kind of a way to show some of the great things in Columbus." They got us a Cheryl cookie that I think somebody has already opened. I'm going to guess who that may be. They gave us some wonderful apple butter, some Yoders, right? So it's good in Plain City to know some Yoders. Gave us some a mug and some popcorn and, of course, some golf balls, right, to go out. And so they just try to give us a sense of, here are some wonderful welcoming gifts when it comes to Columbus and coming to this area. They were really wanting to bless us, which is really great. So I made me think about, like, if God were to give you and I a welcome basket into his kingdom, he says, "Here, let me give you some gifts that kind of show a taste of what heaven is like." What would some of those gifts be? Well, some of those gifts would be that Jesus is the hope of the world, right? That Jesus is the hope of the world because he gives us hope even when we're hopeless. Another gift he would give us is peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace who came to calm our weary hearts. Another gift would be joy. Jesus is the good news of great joy because our future is secure even when our today is chaos. He would give us love because Jesus loves us even when we feel unlovable. He would bring us comfort because Jesus comforts the brokenhearted. He would give forgiveness to the guilty, fellowship to the lonely, eternal life to the spiritual dead, deliverance to those who are held captive by sin. Jesus is the great ark who provides salvation to all who would run to him. Jesus is the promise of Abraham that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed, that Jesus is the beloved son, right? Not spared like Isaac was, but was delivered for our salvation. He's the greater disruptive baby like Moses, a greater mediator and shepherd who brought a greater deliverance than the Exodus, that he is our Passover lamb, that Jesus was slain. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is our true manna from heaven that satisfies our hungry hearts, right? He's the water from the rock that saves us, the fulfillment of the law, our true Sabbath rest. He's the ultimate temple and tabernacle, God's presence with us. He's the better Joshua who's taken us to a promised land, a new heaven and a new earth. He's the greater Boaz who feeds the hungry at his table and brings us into his family. He's the greater Elijah and Elisha who can raise the dead simply by the power of his word. Jesus is God's big yes to the one from David's line who would reign from ever. He is the royal king declared in the Psalms whose end will be endless and boundless and gracious. He's Micah's shepherd who will come from Bethlehem, who is coming forth from the Ancient of Days, and he shall be our peace. He's Isaiah's Emmanuel. He's Daniel's stone fashioned out of nowhere who will conquer all the empires and whose glory will fill the earth. And lastly, Jesus is the great, bright, and morning star who will come again to dispel the darkness, who will wipe away every tear off our face and give us a new body fitted for a new creation. That would be the welcome basket that we would receive from him if we put our trust and faith in him. See, Jesus doesn't just give us the best gifts. Jesus is the best gift. He is God's gift to us. And so maybe today, for the first time, you would love to receive that gift that Jesus offers you. I'd love to give you an opportunity to do that. So would you just bow your heads and close your eyes with me? as we think about these wonderful gifts that God gives us. And maybe you're here today and you would say, as I think about my life, I think about that I've been trying to earn God's approval. I've been trying to earn his acceptance. I've been trying to follow the rules, and I'm just falling short of that. But I see that the gift that I've been searching and looking for all along is Jesus. The gift that I have longing for and working for and striving for is found in him. I cannot deny it. Jesus is who he says he is, and I want to put my trust and my faith in him. So what I would just ask you, if that's you, if today you would say, I want to put my trust in Jesus, I want to receive him as my Savior and Lord, just as an act of faith, would you just raise your hand high up in the air, saying, Lord, I want to receive you as my Savior. You can put your hands down. And so for those of you in the room that would say, man, I love Jesus, I have received that gift, let us not forget Christmas and what it is truly about. God giving us grace upon grace, coming to be for us what we could not be for ourselves. That God gives the best gifts, that we can trust him at all times. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the way you care for us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would continue to use us in mighty ways to celebrate, to sing, to remember, to rehearse, to remind ourselves of the joy of Christmas and all that we receive from our great Savior. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.